When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Out of paper, out of stock, there's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and human scarecrow at Shroot Farms, Edwin Janes. It doesn't pay much and you can't unionize. But with me, as always, is my producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
This was a successful unveiling.
This was a successful podcast introduction. Our dear friend Sean Rooney is unable to join us for this recording, and this is going to be kind of a unique episode. We wanted to put something out for you guys this week, and what we didn't want to just do a rerun. So what we're going to do is Alex and I are going to check in at the top, do some voicemails, some emails, and then we're going to play the audio or the main discussion from our Nate episode, which is one of my personal favorites of all the times we've done this show.
It's falls one of the times, to his knees.
Yeah, that's the moment. One of the times where I think we've all laughed the hardest. So it felt like a good one to rerun if you're going to go back and listen to something else or something that we've already done before.
For those of you that think Sean is just mailing it in, he's not. He's just been in the grinder with work. We've also been, all of us flew to Louisville and back for a wedding recently. Our schedules have been even more condensed than they usually are. So Sean wasn't able to join us this week, but as Edwin said, we soldier on, and we wanted to give you something rather than just replaying an episode. So
And Sean will be back when he can. I mean, he's just really caught up in the grind right now. But I think without further ado, let's jump into it. And
why don't we start with Louisville? We just got back because I believe Edwin, you posted the video of Sean playing the theme to The Office on this grand piano at this beautiful property we were at in Louisville for this wedding. And it was a really cool setting, that whole place. But watching Sean play that in this, it's like, it just felt like in American history in this house. It was like, what a funny little scene this is. But I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, congrats to our friends Matt and Becca for getting married. And it was really fun to be there. I think if you watched our Instagram story, you did see I recorded Sean playing the Office theme on the piano.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of time to kill before the wedding, and there was a piano in the hall. So Sean just started playing that, and it felt like it was a good thing to post.
We had a lot of fun, though. It was nice to see you again, even though you just moved.
I know. You'll never get rid of me. I told you. Yeah.
You'll be back in about 5 weeks from my wedding.
That's right.
This is all happening very fast, but
the third wheel is why they call it a tricycle.
How was the? I mean, you've been on a plane since.
I have been on a plane.
COVID. You haven't?
No. I was joking. Yes, in general, I've been on a plane since COVID.
Yeah.
A couple of times. Yeah. Okay. It's wearing a mask is not fun on a plane, but you know it is what it is. You get
hey, you want to make this claustrophobic space even more claustrophobic? Wear this, don't take it off.
What's
which is
difficult,
a good idea, but man, it's just like that's the price of flying right now.
It's difficult when you have your headphones and the mask and you're trying to figure out which order you put them on, or you know, they layer on top of each other. But anyway.
Ooh, I'll talk about that in our ad later.
good. We have a solution then.
We have a solution for you.
But it was really good to travel with friends. It's something that travel has been pretty sparse, I think, for all of us, you know, in the last year or two. And to travel to a place to get to see you guys and hang out for that weekend was really nice.
Hotel rooms on the same floor and just hanging out at night. Like I don't think I went to bed before 1:30 in any of all four nights I was there. Three nights, I guess. A lot of late nights, a lot of laughter, just belly aching. So much laughter. It was just beautiful.
I'm glad that you had all those belly laughs.
Well, I've never been to Kentucky either. I love
me neither.
It.
Me neither.
Louisville
yeah.
was fantastic. I just, I mean, I was only there for a few days, but kind of fell in love with that city.
A story that I don't think you were there for was we were driving back in our Uber one night, and we were talking, and our Uber driver said, and there were, I think, maybe three or four of us in a car. It was an XL. She said, "You all sound like NPR people." and Colin said, "Edwin, do Ira Glass." Welcome back to This American Life, Ira Glass. Treat get our show, of course, choose a theme. We can write stories on that theme. This week, my old Kentucky home. And
home, sweet home.
It was perfect. It never been set up more perfectly like that in my life. It was great. Yeah.
I mean, here's what I appreciate about your Ira Glass impression. I mean, the vocal quality is good, but the cadence, the pauses, the inflections. I mean, that's really what you have dialed in. Even more so than the actual voice, I'd say, is the stylings of Ira Glass.
That's good.
Which is great because he's had such an effect on so many different audio producers out there. You can blend right in. But people on this show want more of that impression as well. So anytime you want to do that today, feel free to just slip into the glass slipper.
Hey, it's Ira. A couple times a year, we like to point a different cause, raise money for. So before we jump into this week's episode, I just want to take a moment to highlight. he always does that a couple times.
He does.
The charity intro.
Hey, listeners.
But yeah, Ira.
It's like we need, like he needs it. Like, oh, yeah, that's who this is. Got it. Okay.
And I imagine that most people, our listeners, know Ira Glass. But if you've never listened to This American Life, you know, that, well,
they need the listeners.
Check it out. Yeah, you need the context. Yeah, they really need the support in these times. The original greatest podcast
now,
of all
more
time.
Than ever.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But no, just overall, a really good time. It's been such a whirlwind these last few weeks, moving and going back and forth. I forget that we don't all live in the same city, hanging out with you guys again.
It's only recently I was like, oh, I should invite Edwin. He's not here. That's sad.
We were talking about a show, and I was going to suggest, like, well, when we get back, we should all see it. And then I realized that we're not all going back to the same city. But
we were talking about Shen Yun.
Shen Yun. That's right. We were going to
China before communism.
Yeah. But yeah, well, I'd love to see it separately at the same show time, and then get back and get on a Zoom call.
There we go.
And,
I'm into it.
Yeah. But I think you would be happy to know that as far as life check and stuff goes, I finally got a refrigerator today.
Oh, good man. You can finally have cold, fresh food again.
Yeah.
Edwin was complaining at Kentucky of just like, I haven't had like cold, fresh food in so long. It's like when you don't have a fridge, everything you eat is, unless you're going to a salad bar or something, everything you eat is like hot takeout food. And you don't realize how much you crave something out of your fridge, which I can totally understand.
Well, you know, I've never moved into an apartment that didn't have a refrigerator before. I guess it happens every now and then. But I also didn't realize the like lead time that it takes to order a fridge, to make sure that it all fits and everything. I got it delivered this morning. And I thought it was really funny that like a few weeks ago when we all said, you know, we said goodbye, it's like, oh, moving on, next chapter, whatever. And then I see you 2 weeks later and I say, I miss the taste of refrigerated food. Like, the pleasures of cold food have left me. Yeah.
Edwin's been in the wild for weeks.
Yeah, no, but no, it's all good. It's all good. It's been an adjustment for sure. My first week, I got down here and I had a week before, but the rest of my stuff arrived, and so I was sleeping on an air mattress. Just didn't have a ton of stuff here, and I went to get maybe I've told you this, but I think I got a massage just because like it was a. You're sitting in like it's not a very restful place without having all your stuff in the apartment. And the whole time, the massage therapist just going tight everywhere, tight. Like I was like, oh, I'm like, you know, I would make a note. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's okay. She's tight everywhere, tight all over, tight. She said, 2 weeks you come back. I was like, all right. I guess I have to
I love the apology. From the massage therapist of just like, look, I'm sorry, it's gonna hurt. You're just like, I'm beating a brick wall is what's happening right now.
She didn't say much. It was tight everywhere. Tight.
Like, that's exactly how she's going to say it to her partner when she goes home that night. Yeah. She's like, oh, I had a client. Tight.
Everywhere. All over. But anyway, it's coming along.
I'm glad you're
settling.
Yeah,
can't
LA.
Wait for you guys to come visit. Yeah.
It's going to happen. We'll do an episode live from LA.
Field trip, road trip, yeah.
We'll have to. Maybe set up a little live show, little in-person show.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be crazy. I say for me, being at the wedding was a good, the whole time, just since we're in the final stretch of planning our own wedding, that being at a wedding that close to ours is just a constant. You're just always doing the checklist in your head, being like, oh, we should do that. Oh, I don't know if we're going to do that. Okay, well, we don't want to do this. So it was a nice way to sort of balance and see almost like a real life wedding play out, to be like, oh, we do need this, we don't need this. And so constantly it was that. But I'll tell you this. I had never, maybe it was my shoes were terrible, but a dance floor that was like the concrete was like, made it rough on my legs after a while. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just my little legs are the problem, but we have a cement floor at our venue, and so we're like, oh wait, we're definitely gonna get the dance floor add-on, get that, you know, your classic tiled dance floor that you see at most weddings, you know, a little cushion in there. I think it's like, okay, we're definitely gonna use one of those, I don't think it would have worked at Matt's venue, because it had pouring rain there for a while.
They got it
cleared up just for the ceremony, and then it was just rain for a while. So
we got lucky.
A little rain on the wedding day, but again, like you said, I want to echo congrats to Matt and Becca. What a lovely time that was.
Mm-hmm. And great that we could all get together again. Not just the three of us, but like, you know, we rarely get to see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that was all really
fantastic. We had our own version of Florida Stanley, Kentucky Sean.
That's right. Yeah, we did.
I don't know. It's not like he did anything crazy. It's just funny.
No, I know. It's just
funny to
think
Kentucky Sean.
Kentucky Sean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is Sean when he's had whiskey every night, and then during the day, he's just worn out. It's like super low energy Florida Stanley. Mm-hmm. He's on vacation, but he's tired.
Yeah.
they also took the red eye to get there. I mean, he was behind the gun from the start, the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. Felt bad for him, but Sean's a champ.
Yeah, he made it through. That's true. Got it. Yeah. But no, man, good to check in. I think I hope people like that.
Hope so, dude.
Let's move on to our voicemails and our emails from the people listening.
Yeah, we thought we'd just throw in some stuff that we haven't fit into the shows recently and toss it around, and then like we say, we'll throw to some content about Nate, one of our favorite episodes. Let's start. Let's start here. A little voicemail from Mike.
Hey, this is Mike from Phoenix. Great show. I want you guys to discuss the moment or piece of dialogue that makes you sit back and think, damn, this is the best show ever. And I don't mean something iconic like Bears beats Battlestar Galactica, but something where you just sit back and say, wow, I can't believe how perfect that was. For me, it's when Dwight asks Jim, who's Sarah Kaya Combs in? It just blows me away every time. So if you guys have some thoughts on that, I'd love to hear it. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Mike. That's a good question. And well read.
Yes. Yeah, nice pacing, good volume.
Yeah, very good.
It's Mike.
Yeah.
Good job, Mike.
Mm-hmm. I have a moment that comes to my mind right away, but do you have one?
I mean, there's always going to be several. The one that for me, and I've probably mentioned before, but the one for me is the Crentist exchange. That whole scene is just brilliant to me. And it's the writing, yes, but the acting, the chemistry, and the what you need those characters have to stand up so much on their own for that to work the way it does. Because when you looked, I think if you looked at the writing of that on the page, of like, what's your doctor's name? Crentist. Your dentist's name is Crentist. Like, it looks kind of silly and kind of stupid. It's so basic. But the execution of that scene, the way it's shot, everything about it is like, just encapsulates so much of what I love about the show. The style of how it's filmed and the way the characters act, the way the actors bring the characters to life. Perfect moment for me.
Dwight, or Dwight's respect and fear for power and Michael assuming his power.
Yes.
Is what really makes that scene.
You know that Michael knows. Dwight kind of knows that Michael knows, but he's not admitting it to himself yet. And he's trying to squirm out. It's perfect.
The noise that Dwight makes when Michael checks him. Oh.
Even the way he takes the peanut M&M. Yeah. The way Michael.
No, really. Have an M&M. Yeah.
It's just great. How about you?
The one that comes to mind right away is in the fight, which is Dwight saying, what belt are they?
What a small little moment.
Okay, yeah, here it is. He goes, Michael, oh yeah, that would be kind of worthless because I know a ton of 14-year-old girls who can kick his ass. Jim says, you know a ton of 14-year-old girls? Dwight, what belt are they?
I have a feeling all these are going to have a little Dwight in them.
Yeah, it's a joke on top of a joke, which I really love. Yeah.
I feel that way about in the fire, just Dwight chipping in from out of camera, just the crow on Desert Island Movies. Just it's such a little thing that is such a, like, if you know Dwight's character and you know that movie and you know everything, it works out so well. Next big one for me is just a pure Steve Carell moment, and it's sort of what Mike's talking about of, like, why it makes it the best show ever is like, because so much is because of Steve Carell and what he brings to Michael Scott and how much it's just the fulcrum of the whole show. And that is simply the exchange when he's by himself. Well, he's not by himself, but he's talking pretty much to himself during, I believe, Ben Franklin, when he's talking about wanting to throw a shower for guys. And how long that bit goes on. The joke unfolds like three times, and it's just Michael talking to himself pretty much. And with Pam and everyone else in that room reacting. It's this moment to me that encapsulates just the virtuosity of Steve Carell playing that character, and is like, this is why this show's good. Cause you could even just put Michael talking to himself in the conference room, which happens a lot. And it's so, so funny. And it only works because of the style and the craft of how the show's made that you could even have that moment in that way. So that would be my other favorite moment.
No, that's a really good one. That's a really good one. It's
an hour long shower for guys.
Yeah. A guy's afternoon in.
A G-I-I, a gay. Yeah. Not. It's more of a, just he resets, he does it again, and he digs himself even deeper.
Yeah. So much of what makes the show is Michael and Steve Carell, and it is what, like, it's the X factor, you know, in so much of it. I think. The other sort of dynamic that really makes the show sing for me and that sets it apart is a lot of the stuff in the early seasons. The one that came to mind again from this question is in Diversity Day, when Pam falls asleep on Jim's shoulder and he has to wake her up. And after he's lost his sail to Dwight, and he looks in the camera and just, not a bad day, you know, like there's like, just, it's not like, maybe it's not a line, but just, we talked about in the last one, Greg Daniels, The Flower That Grows in the Pavement. Just that little bit of warmth and optimism in, like, you know, limitless paper in a paperless world. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Last shout out for me is one I have a drop for, which is this one.
The only thing I am worried about, I'm getting a boner.
That comes at the very end of that episode after everything they've been through.
Yeah.
And it's just, Michael just will never get it. But he thinks he does. He thinks he does. And that's even funnier. All right. Let's move on. Thank you again, Mike, for that one. Let's move on here. Voicemail from Beth.
Hi, this is Beth from Alaska. I just listened to your draft episode. How did no one, quote Uncle Al, even the doctor didn't know. Also, Alex, you totally should have picked Creed. Anyway, I love what you guys do. Much love from Alaska. Bye.
Even the doctor didn't know.
I know. We somehow skirted around that. Of the few lines Uncle Al has, we missed that one. So thank you. We get a lot of voicemails and messages flaming us in good nature for the things we've forgotten or missed or stumbled over.
So, impulsivity and inattention to detail.
There you go. Also, I wanted that in there because I did get a lot of pushback about Creed. I thought I was I understand why people think that when it comes to our draft, but you know, what are you gonna do? Mm-hmm. We had a lot. People had a lot of strong opinions about our drafting strategies, but that's the price of the biz, right? Mm-hmm. That's why we're here. Little Uncle Al love here. All right,
of course.
Let's go to an email here. This was another great point brought to us by Steph, one of our longtime Scott's Tots on Patreon, who says this: "You guys, I'm freaking out. I've seen The Office beginning to finish more times than I can count, and I never made this connection. In your most recent episode, you quoted Dwight, who referenced Comstock Hall. Someday we'll all get together in Comstock Hall and laugh about this.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Yes. Now, why does the name Comstock sound so familiar, I asked myself. It's because Oscar adopts Angela's cat, who is named Comstock. So Angela named a cat for Andy and not the one that he gave her, Bandit, which is actually such a sweet gesture in a relationship that seemed very cold. Yeah, especially naming rights for a cat for Angela. It seems like a big gesture. It's just another example of the writers sprinkling in wonderful little details throughout the series. So cool. Thank you, guys, and congrats on the move, Edwin."
Oh, thanks. Yeah. And thank you for your message. I had never put that together.
But I had never thought this either.
As soon as I heard Comstock Hall, I was like, oh, like the cat. Yeah.
The cat. Yeah. I had never either. And that could be that she let Andy name one of them. Mm-hmm. Or named one, you know, on his behalf.
We were looking for Kitten. I don't have the drop board. Otherwise, I would have played that myself.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm a little slow here.
No, it's okay. It's hard when it's just the two of us.
Let's go to Andy.
Andy and the tuna.
Don't know, super care. Darn.
You can just play
He's got
Andy.
The best drops. He's
you
just,
can just Andy does have the
he's
best
just,
drops.
He's just got. They work so well on their own.
Why is that in the kitchen? You know what always makes me laugh? We're laughing now.
Yeah.
Just that we talked about Andy faces. I think it was on a Patreon episode where the way he like bites his lip. Yeah.
He uses it in a few different like contexts. Sometimes when he's really happy or when he's really uncomfortable.
Really, really frustrated.
Because
yeah.
He makes the same face when he finally thinks he figures out the Kit Kat theme and he goes, nailed it. He does. He yeah, makes that yeah. face for a second. gosh.
Thought about it. I'm in.
You've got Andy quotes for any moment. Maybe, do you think more so than Michael, Andy is like the most malleable of the drop characters?
Yeah, a lot of Michael's ones are so, there's just a lot of energy behind him. And Andy's very versatile. He also has a lot of musical ones.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just got true. A little bit of everything.
That's very true. I am pursuing fame of any kind. Okay, do we have another message or do you have more drops to play?
I did have another email from Emily, who says this. You know what? I'm going to read the whole thing because it's really sweet.
Sure.
From Emily. Yeah. Says, hey, guys. Just wanted to thank you.
Hi.
Hey.
just wanted to say thank you for the much needed laughs this last year. It's been a rough one for so many reasons, including the loss of a close friend to breast cancer. So sorry to hear that. I'm also an avid runner, and when I lost that outlet several months ago due to a knee injury, I slid into a pretty bad depression. Your pod has made me feel less alone and is one of the bright spots as I continue to get through this. Local Ad is one of my favorite Office episodes. Great choice. So I am naturally a huge fan of your theme song. So much so that my husband even learned it on guitar so I can sing along to it. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Sweet. That's amazing. All right.
Yeah, that's great. Being a huge karaoke fan, I have a related mailbag question. As you know, karaoke makes a few appearances in The Office in Benihana Christmas and Email Surveillance. We get to see a few characters perform. My favorite is Kevin's You Ought to Know rendition. So here's my question is, what are some karaoke songs that you'd love to see specific characters perform in the show? Solos, duets, group numbers, all acceptable. I'll start by saying that I'll start by saying that I think Phyllis would absolutely slay Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain. You're right. Thanks again. Your pod has been nothing short of predominant. Emily in Charlottesville.
Hey, that's so nice. Thank you, Emily. Thanks, Emily. That's really amazing. Thank you. Yeah.
Really sweet.
Yeah. Never lost on us.
I feel you on that stuff too. I broke my leg during COVID. All the stuff I do to feel sane, I couldn't do for about a year. I've lost a friend to cancer. I feel you on that. So thanks for writing in, letting us know. Mm-hmm. On to a cheerier topic. Karaoke songs for characters. What do you got, Edwin?
My first thought was Michael. I want to sing Michael singing a karaoke song in an appropriate context, you know?
You're right. That's not what is Islands in the Stream?
Yeah.
No, exactly. He's Afternoon Delight. What does he sing?
Islands in the Stream.
Islands in the Stream. That's right. I was thinking of Arrested Development.
Yeah, yeah. Islands in the Stream, where, or Michael singing karaoke in an environment where this entire question is, it's fun to see Andy sing in the proper context, like Pam says during Andy's play. And seeing Michael sing and perform in the proper context would be really great, don't you think? If he had a karaoke stage, he could run around and interact with people.
He's actually a good singer from what we hear a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they made that where, like, I obviously Steve Carell can sing really well, and they were like, yeah, let's let Michael Scott be a good singer. And you only hear it a few times, though.
I saw a guy do this at karaoke one time, so this is why I'll go with it for Michael. You ain't never had a friend with like me from Aladdin. The song the genie sings?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael can sing that one. Yeah.
I was thinking we should actually hear him do a full rendition of I Will Survive, because he starts...
Oh, yeah.
He starts singing that during CPR,
because
he thinks it's the Bee Gees. but that's not the song that he starts with, which is I Will Survive.
First not Stand I was Alive. Afraid. Yeah.
I was petrified. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd nail that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I have a song for Jim. Because Jim is not a participant in things,
no.
generally, unless he's leading the charge like Office Olympics or Flonkerton or something. He doesn't like costumes. He does, of course, participate with Michael in karaoke finally.
For someone who jokes so much, he is weirdly no fun.
Yeah, he is. He really doesn't seem like a fun hang. Yeah, you try and give him a knuckles. He's like,
someone
who
jokes
are we
around all the time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he goes for the, yeah.
It's not great, but this is based on a friend of ours, their brother, who does this at karaoke, who gives me Jim vibes, which is the song Tequila. Now this is a karaoke hack for people out there. If you don't think you're a good singer, or you don't actually want to sing that much, but you want to just kind of lead a dance party, do the song Tequila, and all you do is shout the word Tequila every 30 to 45 seconds. Tequila.
Yeah. If you're somebody who doesn't go up at karaoke a lot, people might be surprised. Oh, he's going up this time, mm-hmm. and then you get kind of the fun sort of aspect of it that you're just doing this kind of a non-song.
You have to be comfortable dancing in front of people, because you're going to be sitting up there not singing a lot
for a while.
So you need to like wave people up and have everyone dancing and
dance together. Exactly. Yeah, yes.
I feel like that's a gym move. Is like. Mm-hmm. Not just me. I'm going to make everyone do this with me.
I would like to see Andy and Dwight sing Country Roads together.
Yep.
As a duet.
Yep. Absolutely. I'll Andy could do a lot of songs, obviously. Little George Michael, you know, let him really break free on that one.
Yeah.
Faith, that is.
Yeah.
We don't see a ton of Dwight singing in the show. He sings the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yeah.
No lyrics in that, of course.
Little drummer boy. Yeah.
In that vein, I think he could do like Du Hast, and he'd know all the German. You know what I mean? Like, he would just
sail.
Sail. No, I think Dwight would do. I'd like to see him Du Hast in German.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just running another one from the show, but like. I would like to see Meredith and Pam sing a duet. Mm. You know, they were going to sing Girls Just Want to Have Fun. But maybe there's another... what about...
Ooh, Ryan and Kelly doing I'm Real, Ja Rule and J-Lo as a duet.
Ryan and Kelly could do a ton of fun pop duets.
Yeah. That'd be
Barbie
my
Girl?
Top choice for them. Yeah, that'd be good. Mm-hmm.
they could have a lot of fun with it, for sure.
Yeah. Toby could do some like Elliott Smith or something. Something sad.
Is it weird that my head went to seeing Andy sing Total Eclipse of the Heart?
No, that's fine.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. That'd be really fun. But Meredith and Pam, I think, could sing Time After Time. That'd be fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
Stanley can do any Barry White. Be great.
He has his own song, Leslie David Baker.
Florida State. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who else? Daryl? Get Daryl up there. He's such
Daryl can do whatever he wants. Daryl is, exactly.
He should go last. Bring the house down.
In theory, Andy could too, but he cares too much.
Yeah, he's too insecure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But Daryl would be really
Daryl, like with the sunglasses on. Yeah, he could do something cool.
What about Kevin? We see Kevin sing a couple songs.
Sure.
What else would we like to see Kevin sing? Bruce Springsteen.
Not the Police.
Yeah.
I like that. I like Bruce. I'd like to see him do some Bruce. Mm-hmm. We're dancing in the dark.
Yeah.
There it is. Nice. We did it.
There you go. We did it.
Whew. Oscar? Mm-hmm.
Oh, what would Oscar sing? Oscar would sing something very pretentious.
Oh, you think so?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what his,
Man. Who could? I don't know. I assume Oscar.
Oscar would sing a song in a foreign language. Volare. Whoa. Cantare. Oh.
Any Gypsy Kings would be sweet. You're right. That would be so funny. Mm-hmm. Or like, some like really dense French song.
Mm-hmm. What about Aaron? What would Aaron sing? Taylor Swift?
I'd like to see Aaron sing something really aggressive. Like she's wearing a metal or something. Like her and Reed were like went through a phase, and she still really likes Korn or something. Mm-hmm. Like not like full metal, but like new metal stuff. Like
Aaron says, people like shells from faraway beaches. Sorry, it's just a random line.
Oh, I got it. I want Aaron to sing the Alien Ant Farm cover of the Michael Jackson
song. Smooth Criminal.
Yes, that's what I want to hear.
Okay, yeah.
I want her to cover a cover.
Mm-hmm.
Works for me.
And then, similar to Daryl, Creed can do whatever he wants.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Full range. He's gonna own it.
More than welcome to do Spinning and Reeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he does.
One of the hits. All right, I think we sufficiently answered that question.
Yeah. Thank you again for your question, Emily.
Appreciate it. All right, last one here. I got another. Since we did life check-ins at the top of the show, we'll have to. We wanted to do this as well in voicemail. Let's get to this one.
Well played, Michael Scott Podcast Company. Well played. This is Thaddeus from the Piney Woods of East Texas. I just listened to y'all's last episode, and right after me saying something about how I liked y'all's ads because there's usually a little office joke at the end, I had just this generic vanilla ad of some lady talking that wasn't funny at all. I don't know if y'all did that on purpose, but that's pretty funny. Anyway, I'm just called to say I'm on to you guys, and I'm probably going to end up getting Patreon.
Hey.
I hope y'all enjoy me constantly updating y'all with my life as far as the MSPC goes. Anyway, y'all have a great, great week, and I'll probably call you guys sometime after I listen to your next episode. Y'all know how it works. Talk to y'all later.
Thanks, love Thaddeus.
It.
We
appreciate it, man. Yeah.
We get a lot of calls and voicemails, but Thaddeus is consistently just called to just like chat. But it's like a one-way mirror because we don't call him back on the show. Maybe we should sometime.
Mm-hmm. We'll call him back right now.
But I can't through this computer. But I just love the check-ins. I just love the check-ins from Thaddeus. Mm-hmm. Out there in the Piney Woods, East Texas. Good to hear from you. Thank you to everyone who has written in, sent in voicemails, all that good stuff. But also, I played that one because it's a good reminder to check out our Patreon, folks. If you don't want those boring vanilla ads in your episodes, you can
Our ads are chocolate, strawberry, mm-hmm. or what are the magic all spoon kinds. Flavors?
Rainbow sherbet.
Yeah.
You can join our Patreon again, $5 a month. $5, that's it. Not much. And you get our exclusive monthly mailbag episodes, which kind of feel like this episode a little bit. And of course, our ad-free podcast feed as well. So you actually get your own separate private podcast feed straight to your phone or device, where you'll get our episodes ad-free as well as our exclusive content that we post on there. We also donate a portion of all of our monthly proceeds to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. And as we're working now, we are working on our merchandise. So keep an eye out. That should be available in the coming weeks as well. Now, that's not just exclusive to Patreon members. Anyone can do that. But just wanted to get that announcement in.
It's just the price of a cup of coffee an hour. Not really. That's Michael's insurance plan from Grotti. Yeah, but no. Thank you again to all our Patreon subscribers. Would love it if you guys joined us there. And then definitely very excited about the merch. That'll be really cool, very fun. We've been talking about doing that for a while. Swag stuff we all get. I decorated my condo with all of my swag. And soon you can do the same too. What do we have next? Do you have another message, or should we go to something else?
I think that's it. That's all I have right now. Yeah. So why don't we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll be listening to our discussion about Nate, one of our favorite episodes we've done and one of our favorite discussions about one of our favorite characters. So stay tuned for that. We're going to take a quick break.
Quick shout out to Magic Spoon. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, waking up on a Saturday morning. But we had to give it up because we realized that it's full of sugar and junk that you don't really need. I think all of us have been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food from time to time. But then it feels like you can't eat anything anymore, you know? But that's where Magic Spoon comes in. This cereal has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. It has only 140 calories a serving.
Ooh.
It is keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. The variety pack comes with 4 flavors, which are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter.
All delicious, by the way. All delicious.
That's very true. And you have to imagine that if Michael ever started that store, Mike's Cereal Shack, he would have an entire
top shelf Magic Spoon,
an entire row of Magic Spoon with all the different flavors ready to go. It tastes exactly like regular cereal from your childhood, but it is super nutritious. It's delicious, but super healthy cereal that really brings joy to your mornings or afternoons or whenever you have it. Go to magicspoon.com/Scott to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at checkout to save $5 off of your order. Yes. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/Scott and use the code Scott to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Folks, there's so much going on in the world, whether it's stuff you're excited about or stuff you'd rather not think about, like the thought of your parent dating Michael Scott. You can't always control the vibes out there, but you can always control the vibes in your head. And with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears, you can. I just recently was on several flights getting from Portland to Louisville for my wedding, and I was using Raycon the entire time. I have never had wireless earbuds, AirPods, those kinds of things. This is my first try, my first flight with them, and it has changed my life. Not only because I listened to Harry and the Hendersons at full blast without anyone knowing, but it distracted me from the smell of egg salad sandwiches as well, because my earbuds were so great. Also, you mentioned this, Edwin, but dealing with like taking my headphones, my mask on and off, everything, they just stayed in there. I didn't have to take wires. It was a true joy to use. So whether you use them to pump up, wind down, work, or work out, Raycons are my go-to for on-the-go audio. And the new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With an improved rubber oil look and feel and optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these are impressive before you even start listening. You get 3 new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. There's pure mode, that's podcast listening, blues, instrumental music. There's balanced mode for rock, heavy metal, and there's bass mode for hip-hop, EDM, and reggae. There's also an all-new awareness mode for when you need to listen to your surroundings instead, which is great for runners. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. There's also a built-in mic, and you can take your calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. and Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, Michael Scott Podcast Company listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Scott. That's buyraycon, RAYCON.com/Scott to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Scott.
This podcast is sponsored by Indeed. When you're building a great team, you need to find people with skills that complement each other. So how can you find the people with the right skills? And maybe you don't have someone like Dwight, who, for your convenience, has broken his resume down into three parts: professional resume, athletic and special skills resume, and Dwight Schrute trivia. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want: a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible, because you can do it all. Attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people right now. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process, so you can find talent with the skills you need through tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can even invite them to apply right away. So let's say you're Dwight and you're looking for a junior salesman, and you're talking to Moe Schrute, and he says, "It says on your resume that you're a rep at Dow Chemical. I've worked, lived with you my entire life, and I've never once seen you go to work." You can avoid those kinds of situations. With Indeed Instant Match, over 90% of employers get quality candidates as soon as they sponsor their job post, according to Indeed data. Candidates you invite to apply through Instant Match are three times more likely to apply to your job than those who only see it in search, according to Indeed. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Scott. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/Scott. Indeed.com/Scott. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Indeed.
Also, FYI, I don't technically have a hearing problem, but sometimes when there's a lot of noises occurring at the same time, I'll hear them as one big jumble. Again, it's not that I can't hear, because that's false. I can. I just can't distinguish between everything I'm hearing.
Got it. Say, is it just me?
Also, Daryl, FYI, I already told this to Andy, but you should probably know, I technically don't have a hearing problem. It's just when there's a lot of noises.
Nate!
No part of this concerns you. That's what Andy says.
Say, is it just me or has gum gotten mint here? Today, we are talking about Nate Nickerson, a.k.a. Zwartepiet. Oh. And that's it. That's the only AKA I could come up with. Black Peter from the Belschnickel Christmas episode.
At one point, Daryl says, "My man Nate here," but that's
my man Nate. Nate Nickerson.
AKA, who is this guy by our cars? is what Angela says. Who is this guy
by
our cars?
That's a good one. Yeah. Oh, I wish I had that one. Played by Mark Proksh.
Proksh? Yeah, I heard him on a podcast. And he said it kind of rhymes with Rook.
Oh, okay.
You go, Proksh.
Mark Proksh.
Or Proksh.
You may know him from Better Call Saul and the new show, What We Do in the Shadows. It's an FX vampire show. But
the On Cinema Universe of Tim and Eric.
The On Cinema Universe of Tim and Eric. But I think most importantly, we have to talk about K-Strass.
Really quickly, I think.
Let's
set the table a little bit. I think Nate, we wanted to talk about Nate because Nate's story and the way that he kind of joined the show is very unique, mm-hmm. and I think a little atypical considering versus some of the other characters on the show. And we'll dive into that and kind of and what his sort of story is. But just this is part of the reason why we were drawn to Nate. He's a minor character, of course. He only appears in the last three seasons of the show. But anyway,
does he show up in season 7?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah. So we had just, done it
really quickly. If the drop didn't tip you off, who is Nate?
Nate is Dwight's assistant.
He comes on as his assistant laborer, like
warehouse, technically.
Right. He picks him up outside of a hardware store, I assume, where migrant workers are.
They speak Spanish to each other.
That's right.
Yeah. K. He's and then
they do not speak Spanish.
Like, and then there's like that little talking head with the guy and the kid translating for him.
Yeah, we
like,
don't go with that.
Like, we don't go with that man. We've seen a lot of people leave with him and they never come back. You know? I don't want to talk about it anymore. And then, yo soy un muy bueno worker. Yeah. Donde are you from? Scranton. And before that, La Philadelphia.
La Philadelphia. Yeah. So he's Dwight's personal assistant for a while, and then he becomes a warehouse worker.
When the warehouse crew wins the lottery,
right?
Nate becomes a member of the warehouse.
That's right. That's right. Because he and he's Dwight's assistant, not as Dwight's capacity as a salesman, but as the building manager.
As the building manager.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's not clear what he is paid or
if he's paid at all.
What the arrangement is. Yeah. No matter how dangerous the task, Nate is sent in to do it. Do Dwight's bidding. Do we want to talk about
let's talk about the actor. Let's talk about the actor and how he came in the show.
Mark Prooksch was working at an ad agency long ago and was between jobs and got bored and decided to create this character called Kay Strass or Kenny Strasser, a yo-yo master who teaches kids life lessons.
Motivational yo-yo presenter.
Yeah, right. And so if people have seen Nathan For You, Nathan Fielder does this a lot where he tricks local news stations and gets them to have him on and ask him all about these fake things he's created. So that's exactly what Mark did in this situation. And those YouTube videos are up. You can watch three or four.
They're really
so
funny.
Hysterical. He just comes on and starts complaining about how hard his life is and how he's not like, you know, they set it up as he goes around to schools and works with kids and shows them cool yo-yo tricks, and he's like supposed to be this great yo-yoer.
Well, it's all about environmental.
Right.
The message is saving the environment through yo-yos.
Right.
Which is ridiculous on its own. And he wears like a yellow t-shirt.
He never quite explained that.
With suspenders and shorts. And like, I mean, imagine Nate, his character on The Office. Just take that character and put him on local news being like, I started yo-yoing several years ago and watch the anchors just try to make this person interesting.
He's like,
at all.
He starts talking about, we've had a lot of problems with the schools lately, and to be honest, I'm pretty frustrated.
He actually does tell a narrative over his five appearances, and he did this around the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's from, I want to say Wisconsin or somewhere in the Midwest, but so he does it, and he actually tells a story over the course of these, you know, five appearances of his character, which is, I don't know, it's just some great performance art that he pulled off. But
it really is.
All that to say, that's how he got the attention of some producers at The Office who saw his stuff on YouTube.
That's exactly right. In fact, it's Paul Lieberstein, Toby, who saw those videos, and they had a sit-down meeting and had some coffee and figured out what he could do on the show.
Mm-hmm. And he ended up marrying one of the producers at The Office.
That's right. Yeah.
His damn wife.
One of the writers at the time. Yep. Uh-huh.
A nice little story of you know, because most with The Office, it's like, you know, they auditioned, they got the role. This is such an interesting story to bring in.
Right.
Someone who's clearly like, this person's so funny and he fits the show's tone so well, which I think is like, you know, I mean, why are we talking about Nate? Why do we like him?
Right.
You
know?
And I think, too, some of the other characters that get added on later in the show, even like smaller characters, like are bigger names, or they're like, hey, what do you know? This person is joining The Office, right?
Yeah.
Gabe, Zach Woods, was like an improv. He was like, an improv teacher and like very well known for improv before he joined The Office. Even like, what's Ellie Kemper?
She was
in sketch comedy, and they seem to have a little more of a background, you know.
Yeah.
Versus like creating this thing and just getting recognized for it.
And it's funny too that you mentioned those two people, because they're not writers. You know, it's like Minnie Kaling, of course, also has that background, but she is a writer on the show. But then there's these other people who are actors, but probably participated a lot in creating the character. It sounds like
what else was Clark in? I feel like I saw him in something before The
Office. He's in I want to say he's in Kick-Ass.
Oh, is that it?
I'm not sure.
Anyway,
He's in. I think the movie's
like a friend.
The movie's called,
he's somebody's friend.
This is a terrible. This is. Yeah. This movie's called. I think it's called Sex Drive. It's like a teenage comedy.
Oh, okay.
From like the mid-2000s. That's like the first thing I saw him in.
Yeah.
You bought that,
oh,
right?
Hot Tub. What?
No. Oh, Hot Tub Time Machine. Yeah.
Hot
yeah.
Tub Time Machine is the thing. Yeah. I know. Yeah. That's what you know.
Yeah.
From. Yeah.
All right.
That movie ages well.
I watched it recently.
It's fun to talk about these. Like, we talk about the main characters of The Office so much.
Yeah.
It's just nice to put a spotlight on someone
well,
like Nate.
It's funny, too, that we just did an episode on Creed, and I feel like Nate is kind of like a fresh Creed that they had to introduce, like, in season 7, that just somebody on the sideline says ridiculous things and people don't really pay much attention to him.
I think the beauty of Nate's character is how little he's actually used.
Yeah.
You know, I was going through and trying to watch every sort of appearance from Nate.
Yeah.
And it's really,
you have to
jump
between episodes.
It's like 3 seasons. And at least according to IMDb, he's credited for like 20 episodes thereabouts. Mm-hmm. And in some, he's barely in them. And some of them, he's only like in the Classy Christmas one. He appears just so infrequently. Like, he's the one taking the photo of them all out mm-hmm. front when it's cold outside. And then he gets the gift. Or no. Daryl goes to invite Val to the Christmas party. And Val says, I thought that was just for popsicles. And Daryl says, popsicles? She says, yeah, that's what we call you office workers because you always got to stick up your butt. And Nate's like, I always thought it was because they're so rich they can afford to eat popsicles all the time. And then okay, again, just to play this whole thing out. Daryl says, yeah, you should come up. You know, we have, you know, food and drinks, cookies, and you should get really dressed up, right? And Nate mm-hmm. says, I'm so you had me at cookies. I'm so excited to find out what they are.
Cookies.
And then he says, I'll be so handsome for you, Daryl. And then the last thing we see him in that episode, he's just wearing a vest and doing the Trans-Siberian Orchestra thing with Dwight.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Well, he's such a good character to just sort of stay in the background in the corner and just every now and then have those moments. Like much like Creed, but he's kind of the hyper normal version of Creed. Like, Creed's such a weirdo and he's like homeless doing all this stuff, whatever. And Nate seems like the complete opposite, the most boring person.
Yeah.
You could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
But equally funny and equally used, like, in a really, really good way, like Creed is. But he's so funny.
I would
funny.
Like to learn a little bit more about Nate's backstory. I mean, the way that he's introduced into the show, that he's just hanging out with the migrant workers, like, trying to pick up a job somewhere. Like, what was going on in his life at that moment?
And then Dwight, you know, Angela says, who is this guy by our cars? And they all look out the window. And he says, Dwight's like, this is my new worker, Nate. He's going to take care of that hornet's nest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
he has to pick his weapon.
He lays out a bunch of tools, and he's like, do or die. And they're like, what if he can't do it? And Dwight says, then he will die. And he has, like, a baseball bat, a blowtorch, a bow and arrow, a knife.
Yeah.
He leaves him a knife to go after a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
And he starts with just the blowtorch.
Right.
And he goes to the baseball
and then
bat.
Then he goes back to the baseball bat.
Yeah, yeah. He comes in with a bang. Yeah.
It's a good stung. Moment to bring up, because it's like, why did the showrunners feel the need to bring Nate into the fold? Like, you know, why it was just like, why is he even worth talking about?
It is really fun to see Dwight have some power over somebody.
I was going to bring that. Oh, yeah. I was going to make that point as well. Yeah.
Reply it.
But again, like, not within the office, but just I own the building that we work in, which is which is like this kind of backdoor level of power that he has for the second half of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's so much of Dwight's henchman, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
and
minion.
Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, just sent out to take care of different tasks.
When Dwight and Pam are in there, are arguing about, well, Dwight's, you know, started all these new rules for the building. He's got, you know, lights on timers and all these things. So Pam is, you know, in a fight with him, trying to maybe get the Dunder Mifflin to move to another space, all these other things. But she's kind of feeling defeated, and Dwight witnesses that. So he instructs Nate to, like, bring her this, I can't remember what
it
was.
It's like the building code.
Yeah. It's like a building code manual or something like that, so that she can point out the things that he's doing that are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But Nate walks through the kitchen and is like, I was never here. And then she's like, what? He's like, I was never here. It's a fairly common
expression. You might want to save it for future reference. Yeah.
I think like someone like Nate's character, you sort of need if you're anticipating someone like Steve Carell leaving your show. You know, it just like it's sort of like when on a sports team when like a star leaves for another team and suddenly there's all these minutes in playing time that you need to like, oh, we need to fill the void that this person's leaving.
Yeah.
And obviously you can't replace Steve Carell, so it's like, how can we find some other characters to bring in a fresh sort of air of humor? And I feel like he's the best example of that in this last three seasons of the show.
I also think to some extent the fact that The Office was so popular and it was kind of a thing in pop culture in its last few seasons while it was on the air, there is this almost like, hey, look, this person's on The Office, right? In the way that you can almost say any celebrity has been on The Simpsons, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, what do you know? This person is on The Office as a special guest star. Like, think of that episode where Tig Notaro comes in.
Oh, right.
That girl's mom.
Yeah.
And all she says is, Tiffy's going to college.
Yeah.
My daughter beat up a fancy man.
Yeah.
And then she says, a friend of mine uses your paper. You guys do great work.
You guys do great work.
Yeah. Like, that's what Tig Notaro says. It's not like it didn't have to be Tig Notaro.
Right. Oh, it could have been anyone.
Or Eric Wareheim is one of Dwight's friends at the end of the show. Like,
Conan walks by.
Yeah, that's true. But the ensemble just gets so stuffed by the end of the show.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's just a lot of characters brought in to do
Chris
whatever.
Gethard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great show for that is X-Files. Everyone was in an episode of X-Files. Like every major actor working today, I guarantee they were in an episode.
Parks and Rec did a lot of that too, I would say.
Yeah,
they start
true.
To bring in all kinds of city officials. And
it's
stuff
a pretty like common thing on sitcoms.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it like you can promote it on ads, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, and guess who's on The Office tonight, right? Or whatever it is. But I think there's a little bit of that in Nate's inclusion as well.
Mm. I want to point out a moment of Nate, like amongst his very first lines when he's being considered for the warehouse. Mm-hmm. In that first drop we played where he's sitting next to, so Andy is interviewing the three people and it's Nate, it's the guy doing his thesis.
I think his name is Gideon.
Gideon, yeah. Great trivia. And then the guy's like, all right, you, like best tank top I've ever seen. Yeah. Where'd you get it? That guy.
Yeah, right.
And he says, I made it.
Yeah. So Nate is introduced at that moment when Gideon's like, FYI, I'm, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I've got a full teaching schedule.
Yeah.
And he's talking about doing his thesis on the decline of the American workforce. And then Nate looks at him and he goes, also FYI. And he looks at Gideon like, I liked, that was a fun little thing you did.
Yeah,
I'm going to do it too. Just perfectly encapsulates Nate in that moment where he's like, I'm going to play by the rules, but man, I'm going to be hard to listen to.
And as he's delivering that speech, he looks over at that guy, I think his name is Bruce, the gym guy, so often while he's delivering the speech to Andy, he just continually like turns and looks right at him.
He's just a really good nuanced actor.
Yeah, he is a great actor.
The facial expressions and stuff, and the way that he kind of just intrudes on scenes. Also, Andy, I told Daryl that, you know, I don't technically have a hearing prop. Like the way that he puts
inserts himself.
In there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's like also the time when everyone's talking about Ryan and Kelly in the break room.
Oh, yes.
And he just inserts himself in that moment and says, like, you don't even realize he's there. And then he just all of a sudden is like, I'll say, just having only known you a short while, Brian, that I would pick Ravi. And again, I don't even know the guy.
He's kind of a return of, like, he's a good injection of the most vanilla plain aspects of working in an office.
Mm-hmm.
In a show that by the time you're in season 7 and 8, everyone's a cartoon version of like what they were in the early seasons. And he's this kind of nice palate cleanser of like a really just dry office worker.
Oh, yeah.
Who's just hard. He just drones and he's hard to listen to.
He's so earnest and like good intention. Yeah. You know, I know I've mentioned this before on the show, but Mike Schur, the actor who played Cousin Moe's. And I actually think Nate takes on some of the Cousin Moe's.
Oh,
things,
that's a good.
Those types of
tasks. Yeah, you're right.
Right? Yeah.
And you don't have to have Mike Schur like dramatically running away every single time
that
happens, right? Of course, Moe's does make his return. But anyway, Mike Schur has mentioned that like stupidity is like the nuclear bomb of comedy. Like it's always a tried and true source, right? In almost every show, there's a character who is, you know, being stupid, or that's like a source of humor, right? But I think it's got to be applied or done in like a meaning or like a strategic way, or like you can't just have someone who's walking into walls and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about Michael Scott and the way that he would just mispronounce words. And mm-hmm. like it was it,
confidently
it's,
mispronounced.
Yeah,
words.
Or think about Andy Dwyer in Parks and Rec, right? Like
right.
it's a similar quality, but it's like shown differently in different characters, right?
Yeah.
And I think Nate has a lot of that too, but it's such a unique presentation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just this lack of a situational awareness,
yeah.
you know, most of the time.
Oh
right?
yeah,
this doesn't concern you at all, right?
yeah,
and
Nate,
yeah, and you think about it versus a character like Kevin in the same
right.
part of the show who's like. Dialed way up in terms of his stupidity. Why say many words when few words do trick,
yeah.
right? yeah. Me good, sleep big last night. But I just think...
No
Nate,
way, Jose!
I just think the way that Nate is... yeah, that lack of awareness is so funny. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the other part that I'm thinking about, too, when he inserts himself is when... Christmas episode again, Daryl and Val are kind of having their will they won't they thing, and Val makes everybody a, a hat.
Knits
right
a hat,
right
yeah.
Daryl thinks it's a sweet thing, but he gets her some really nice gloves, and he at the last minute realizes that she's done this for everyone, so deflects and gives it to Nate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
Daryl, they're so elegant.
She's
your card is more beautiful than the gloves.
Daryl gives it to he's like, they're for my man Nate here. He's like, maybe you should open that later, and he goes, ah, I'm too excited. And then you know what Nate says? The card says, thank you for being in my life. I think it's actually Happy Valentine's Day.
Mm.
But he says, oh, Daryl. He's like, I'm glad I'm in your life too.
Your card is more beautiful than the gloves.
Oh God. And then I mean looking at his arc, I mean, it's like he is in the last episode. He's in the finale in the last couple episodes,
really,
but doesn't really do anything.
No, I don't think
doesn't
that's
do anything,
his,
in fact.
I think that's like the beauty of that character and part yeah. of the reason Nate's
it's
one
like,
of my favorite.
We don't need
closure
characters. For this.
No,
guy.
You don't yeah. need closure. Yeah, exactly. And Nate appears in, you know, I'm thinking in that episode, I think the episode is China,
mm-hmm.
where Pam and Dwight are kind of going at it about the building, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nate is the guy who cuts the banner down, right? And the way yeah. and the way that he looks in the camera, right, is just like a piece of that. And
yeah.
in Angry Andy,
yeah,
when David Wallace comes back and announces that he's buying Dunder Mifflin,
mm-hmm.
Nate is the guy who takes off the saber thing from the sign right outside their offices,
right?
And again, just gives a little look to the camera. And does
because he's like, you yeah. could just pan in on him. He's just funny, just standing oh, yeah. there. Like he's amazing.
in the Hay Place episode, yeah. Nate is like loading up bales of hay while Dwight is speaking.
Hello,
like,
welcome to Hay Place, a place for hay. Excuse me, get off of there. Those are show bales, not play bales.
I don't know how you guys feel, but Nate is, I think, in my top three, maybe a number two after wow. Michael Scott, of just not favorite characters, just people when they come on screen. I'm just
excited. Like, oh,
so excited
so
to hear
excited.
Him talk. Yeah,
I wish there was more. I wonder if there's. I haven't seen many deleted. I haven't yeah. seen most of the deleted scenes. Does anything come to mind of Nate in any deleted scenes?
I'm sure there's something. I just can't.
Yeah,
think
yeah.
Of
yeah.
Off the top of my head.
That would be great if there's more of him. Out
I think
there.
I'd go. Michael Scott one. Nate 2 and Gabe 3.
In terms of characters,
that's
when you
good.
See them,
yeah.
you're excited.
Just, I'm
for
excited
them.
Yeah. for them to do anything.
I just can't wait to
show.
Hear what yeah. they're gonna what mm-hmm. what they're gonna say.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love that.
Aaron. Baby Aaron is 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I love. There's a couple of things that we know about Nate. He likes gum. Like
at one point to get Daryl back for the gloves, he gives him a stack of Nate coupons. He calls them Nate Pons.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like.
Terrible
and
name.
Daryl reads it out loud. He yeah. says, this is good for one tickle monster attack.
Yeah.
And Nate says, there's another one in there. He's like, I will give you a stick of gum anywhere, anytime, any place. He goes, I will find you.
I will find you. Then later in the episode, Vandalism, Dwight, Pam, and Nellie are trying to figure out who vandalized the mural. So they bribe Nate with gum so that he will reveal who it was. And then as they leave... Nate asks for the gum, and Dwight says that there wasn't the offer of the gum was fake, and Nate just says that's really rude.
They also bring, so they realize that they have to isolate the weakest one of the warehouse workers. Right. And Nate is like stacking, like trying to like stack these cardboard boxes. And the way Dwight says, Nate, your mother is dying. And Nate,
oh my God.
And Nate falls to his knees. And then it cuts to them sitting in the warehouse office, and Nate says, "So she's gonna pull through again."
She's gonna pull through. So Dwight's useless.
Yeah, Dwight says we can tell him his mother's dying. That usually works. And Pam's like, "I don't know," and then he just says it.
Yeah.
There's an amazing blooper, if you haven't seen it, from this particular episode where they're questioning Nate, and Pam is up in his face. She says, "Who did it?" And he says, "Frank."
Yeah.
And so she says, "Frank did it?" And he goes, "I don't know his last name, but sure, Frank did it. Frank. And all of them break immediately.
Yeah.
I can't believe that didn't make, like, they didn't like try to put that line into the show.
That is so good.
Yeah, but yeah.
did it. I don't know if he would have like worked with an earlier Dwight.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's like Dwight, that character sort of earned this sort of person that works under him.
Yeah.
Because early on Dwight, he's that for Michael.
I was going to say, you know? Yeah.
And right. Then it's like eventually let's give him a really watered down version of Dwight,
right?
You know,
yeah. There's no intensity to Nate. He's just
exactly.
He's just doing exactly.
He's like
what
a puddle that you're just right. Like you step in and you're like, dang it.
And the puddle smiles at you and tells you that he doesn't have a hearing problem per se. But
yeah, I'm not always a puddle.
Right. It's part of Dwight's sort of arc or Dwight's evolution as a character that he begins so subservient to Michael and so looking up to Michael in such a meaningful way.
Yeah.
And then near the end of the show, he's got Mose, who is, you know, Mose is like, you know, Dwight's cousin, of course, but also his assistant in a lot of ways. But then Nate as well, like, is like tagging along, doing his bidding, whatever he wants, you know. Mm-hmm.
Any artists out there, I'd love to see a draw, like Dwight's gang, like Dwight, like in a clubhouse with his gang, would be Dwight sitting there with like Nate, Mose,
oh yeah,
Rolf,
Trevor,
Wolf. Like, I just like to see a drawing of all those people, like
Gabor,
hardcore gang hanging out. Yeah.
Gabor, Eric, yeah. Troy,
yeah. Like a Last Supper type of it.
Yeah,
that I'm
get his family.
Yeah,
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's an important that's an episode in which Nate features prominently is the junior salesman episode.
Mm.
So they have a junior salesman and opening, and Dwight as acting manager is going to give the job to one of his friends.
Right.
So he calls them all in, and Nate is in there, right? And Clark is also applying for the role, and he says, how did you guys find out about this role? And Nate says, well, Dwight called my house, but my mother told me, but Dwight didn't know that my mother and I are quarreling right now because because I can't stay out of her stuff. And he's just wearing a necktie over his warehouse
uniform,
shirt and a pair of blue jeans. Yeah.
You know, he might be like a perfect character to bring along if they did a reboot as like a new manager.
Oh, that would be, yes.
Like,
I would love to see more Nate.
If Nate
yes.
had taken over. Like, he would be a great manager.
Because they didn't.
What
do you? They didn't.
No, I mean,
a manager character,
yeah,
yes.
For the show, yeah. Yeah. No, he's the worst employee I've ever seen. No question. There's a reason he was just on the street asking people for jobs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dwight says, there's a scene where Dwight is going running through everyone, right? And they're all assembled in that conference room. And he says, Nate is a proven entity. And he's like, however, he does come with some liabilities. He's like, hearing, speech, basic cognition.
Anything else? Nate?
Mark Brooks, like you said, he's Tim Heidecker's show on cinema, which is a YouTube show, and now is going to be a movie.
Well, it's a lot of things.
Yeah, it's a whole universe. But he, it sounds
plays
like
a similar
he
role.
And who's Neil Hamburger? What's his
Greg
name?
Turkington?
Greg Turkington. So the three of them kind of invented that whole. I guess it just all started with them just making each other laugh by giving each other fake movie reviews
right.
at a diner one day.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. He plays the same role
very
as Nate,
funny.
Basically.
Yeah, that's a very funny show. If you haven't watched it, there's like, I mean, it's hours of content.
Mm-hmm. 10 seasons. There's a 5-day live trial.
That
there's
part
a spinoff
insane.
Show named Decker.
Yep.
Go for it. Mark Brooks appears, just pops up in the background
yeah.
throughout all of these things. And like, in the fake show Decker, he plays like every role that
oh my
like
God,
every other role they need besides Tim Heidegger. Anyway.
He is in Bob's Burgers as Mr. Dinkler from the Topsy episode. If you guys know that
oh,
one,
yeah, the elephant.
Yeah. He's the yeah. He's the teacher who loves Topsy. In that
oh
episode.
Topsy, oh Topsy.
And Better Call Saul. He's phenomenal.
Oh yeah,
by
I
the
haven't
way.
Watched that yet. I want to watch.
Go
that.
See it. I mean, like. He does the same basic
yeah,
character
yeah,
as Nate,
yeah.
but he drives like a yellow Hummer.
I did catch a little like a clip on YouTube of him like talking to gangsters.
Yeah, it's like, imagine Nate with like hardcore Breaking Bad gangsters, and he's like, "I have valuable baseball cards. I'm holding as collateral.
I can tell you my name, or we don't have to do names. You know, it's whatever you prefer.
Yeah, if you want more Nate, check that out.
Yeah.
As a small little detail that I noticed going through all these Nate episodes is that Nate is a member of the Knights of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course. Yeah. He does everything.
Right.
Twice.
Yeah, I guess that's the gang. That's Dwight's gang.
He doesn't seem to have his own life outside of...
No.
He signs up with Dwight on hanging out with the migrant workers, and that's it. No, I don't. Any hot takes?
No, Nate's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah,
I think we just wanted to talk about
we
Nate.
We just wanted to recount all.
We just wanted to say, yeah, remember, what about
Nate
that one time? And then just give a Nate quote.
That's
what
like,
we wanted.
That is most of the show.
That's why we did. Yeah. That's why we're doing
this. Hey, remember
this?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole point.
Well, thank you everyone so much for listening. As you heard today, you can call us and leave us a message. Our phone number is 503-694-9314. You can call us and leave us a message. We love to play them on the air. You can email us questions, michaelscottpod@gmail.com.
MS Podcast Company.
MS Podcast Company@gmail.com.
Is that right?
I
hope
so. Yep. All right. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twiddle, mm-hmm. Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. We're on Twiddle.
Mm-hmm. Facebooks, YouTubes. Yeah.
You can check us out on the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and designs all our
Big
artwork.
Shout.
And
Big
special
shout.
Thanks to Open Signal, a community media center in Portland where we record our podcast now.
Yeah.
And sincere thanks to everyone who sent in a question, a voicemail,
yep.
a comment, anything on any of our channels, or
yep.
asked us questions in person, sent
yeah.
things to the show.
Yeah.
We see them all. We're trying to catch them all.
Yeah.
But we want to collect them and go through them one by one
in
a format like
now
this.
Now we kind of have a nice chest of
every,
questions.
Yeah,
too.
And we'll empty it out every few months.
Yeah.
So if we don't do it on the show, we'll get to it whenever we do one of these episodes.
For sure.
Yeah, like
sure.
Michael with his comment box. Mm-hmm. You need to do something about your coffee breath.
That guy was weird.
Well, again, thank you guys so much for listening. And join us next week when we talk about our favorite show, The Office.
Pippity Poppy, give me this oven.
Yes, sir.
Threat level who? Michael's gone. Threat level why? Apartheid. Gotta fight it. Free Mandela. Peace, I'm out.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.